As the movie comes to a finish, at the very end, while you're looking for the bathroom, trying to remember where you parked your car, there's all these credits that roll by, right? All these credits. Sometimes hundreds of names go by on the screen. Ever pause to think about that? How, you know, when you see a good movie, there were hundreds and hundreds of people involved very often in making that movie. Or you read a really great book. Very often there's an acknowledgments page. And it's not just the author. There's also editors, there's publishers, there's publicists, there's all these different people. All of the things that we do, the good things that we do in our lives, we don't do them alone. It always requires a team. The best things that we do in life involve a team. Now, the passage we're going to be looking at today, we're going to be in the book of Romans. And a part in the book of Romans you've probably never really taken a good look at. Even if you're one of those great people who's, you know, you've read through the whole Bible a few times, and you kind of know God's word. I mean, I've never preached on Romans 16 before. Because it's the part of the book that is very easily overlooked. I mean, Romans is this amazing monument of theology, just fantastic compilation of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be living in grace, what it means to be redeemed. And at the end, there's this list of people that Paul is commending and thanking, and it's sort of boring, and we just want to get on to the next bit, but there's some nuggets in there that I want to make sure we have spent some time with. Because one of the big questions that I think is important to ask is not just what did Paul and the members of the early church believe, but how did they actually live? How did they actually live? It's one thing to know what somebody is saying is true and what they say they believe, but it's another thing to say, so how did they actually live this stuff out? You know? Sometimes it's easy for theology to be talked about in these big lofty things, big concepts and ideas, but then it gets down to the nitty-gritty of everyday life, and it can be a little bit trickier. So what's it actually look like? Now, before we get to Romans 16, I want to look at a couple of ideas that I think we're going to see really lived out in this passage. See, the big idea of Christianity, if you're just kind of tuning into the whole church thing, the big, big idea of Christianity is grace. That our status with God is not because of something you have done. It's not because you managed to complete all the check boxes on and these are the things you need to do before you die list, or these are the things you need to avoid, don't smoke, don't chew, don't go out with those who do. I mean, whatever that list might be, and you probably heard lists like that, it has nothing to do with the list, and it has all to do with what has been accomplished for you by Jesus Christ on the cross. That because of his atoning death and because of his victorious resurrection, you and I have complete and full access to God. We have been completely forgiven. If you belong to Jesus, you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. You are part of his family, period. That's the great big idea of Christianity. Absolutely distinct among all world religions, among all philosophies. You won't hear that anywhere else but in the message of Jesus Christ. Grace. And so the early church wrestled with, what does it mean to be people of grace if all people are forgiven by God through Christ, through his death, through his resurrection? If all people have access to the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit can live in you, can live in me. He's right here, right now, with us today. What does that mean? Not only for how we relate to God, but how we relate to one another. And so we see Paul. In this case, I want to take a quick look at what he wrote to the church in Galatia about this issue. He said, Galatians chapter 3, so in Christ Jesus, you are all, what's that word? Children of God through what? Faith. So it's not because of what you've done, it's because of what you believe, and more importantly, who you believe in. Who's that? It's Jesus. For all of you were baptized into who? Christ. He's the hero of the story. and have clothed yourselves with who? Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. Now, what's a Gentile? We talked a little bit about this, last week in some of the category, human or what do you call it, cultural categories of the scriptures. Who are Gentiles? Non-Jews. So who here is a Gentile? That would be pretty much everybody. Pretty much probably, unless you are historically Jewish, in which case, welcome, we are glad that you're here too. Because there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all, what's the word?
One.
So it doesn't mean you're all exactly the same, but we are all equal before Christ. All of us. And we have been set free from the law to live by the Spirit. So later on in the same book, Paul writes, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You want to know whether somebody is walking with Christ? You look for the fruit of the Spirit. That's how you know the Spirit of God is inside somebody. They will have increasing measures of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The friend that you met who was a total self-centered jerk when you met him or her, they become a little bit less jerky. They become a little bit less self-centered. Things are starting to change on the inside, and it's not just their behavior. It's their character. It's their heart. We find we love sin less as we love God more. We start loving people more. We become more concerned with the issues of our world and of our time. Because we love people. Because the Spirit of God is changing our hearts. That's what you look for, by the way. In case if you're trying to kind of keep score of the Christian faith. It's not so much, did you read your Bible every day? Though I hope you did. Did you have a really long prayer time every day? Though I hope you do. It's how is my heart changing? How is my heart changing? How is Christ by the Spirit at work in my heart? How am I growing in the Lord? How goes your walk with Jesus? These are the questions to ask. So you don't beat yourself up when you have a temporary setback. Or you do something that's out of character. You remember what your real character is. You are a child of God. And we get ourselves back on track. And we grow in grace. So the early church is struggling to live all this out. What does it really look like when you're living out this way of life, this way of thinking, that is grounded in grace? And where there are no longer the barriers that divide us, the racial barriers, the socioeconomic barriers, even the gender barriers, all those have been erased in Christ. That doesn't mean that we're all exactly the same. I mean, thank God there's all this wonderful diversity in the body, but we are all equal before Christ, all of us. Then we get to Romans 16. We want to see, did Paul really believe this stuff? Do we really believe this stuff? How did he live it out? So let's spend some time. Romans chapter 16. So Paul has just written this incredible letter to a church in Rome. He's probably writing when he was serving in the church in Corinth. He doesn't know whether he's ever going to make it to Rome. He's never met these folks. He's just heard about them. So he wants to send a letter on in advance, kind of a, just in case I don't get there, here's the things you really need to know about what it means to follow Christ. And he writes to them, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Caesarea. Caesarea was a community about 5 miles away, closer to the coastline. And he commends a woman who is apparently a very respected, the other word for deacon is servant, diakonos. But it was also a title. Somebody that was a respected servant leader within the church. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a benefactor of many people, including me. been the Phoebes in your life? People that were generous to you? People that helped you to understand what grace was all about? People who were servant-hearted, help the people around them. I hope you have a Phoebe in your life as we're on Mother's Day and we're remembering our moms. Make sure to remember your spiritual parents as well. It's not just biological motherhood that matters, though that does matter. The greater emphasis is on who are the people who serve. And there are some remarkable women in this world that serve in remarkable, beautiful ways. People just like Phoebe. She made the Bible. Isn't that cool? Just because here is an amazing servant leader within a tiny little church in a town you've never heard of. She made the Bible. That's awesome. Okay. Greet also the church. Oh, sorry. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers. So a husband and wife. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets in their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras. I'm going to mess up some of these names, so you know you feel free to correct me later on. But you get up here and try to. You're not going to do any better. Okay, who is one of the first converts to Christ in the province of Asia? Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. But I want us to notice some things about this list. I mean, Paul has just been talking about, and when he talks to the church in Galatia, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, but you're all, and what was that word we all said together? One. Notice who Paul is thanking in his credits. Some of them are men, and many of them are women. Which is just absolutely remarkable, especially given the cultural backdrop of the time. This is written in an era where women had almost no status in culture. They were all but property. Hardly any legal rights, hardly any financial rights. But guess what? In Christ, you got rights. You got position. You've got status. Because we are all, what was that big word? One. I want us to keep reading because it gets even better. Okay. So greet Andronicus and Junia. Andronicus is a man's name. Junia is a woman's name. My fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles. And they were in Christ before I was. So no, we know they weren't one of the 12. We would have heard about that. But somehow, these are some respected leaders within the church. Maybe they were church planters of some sort. And Paul commends them to the church in Rome. Amazing. Amazing. Greet Amphilius, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. We're going to pause there for just a second. Because you might not have caught this, but another barrier just fell. That phrase, those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Who are the people he's talking about? They're slaves. They might have had no social status at the time, but Paul, as he's writing to this church, he says, when the folks from the house of Aristobulus show up, you're going to know because culturally they're slaves, but you make sure to greet them. And you make sure to honor them because these are remarkable people who are serving the Lord. Another social barrier just fell. See, Paul actually believes this stuff. So he has significant relationships that would cross the cultural boundaries of his time. Recognizing women as co-workers. Recognizing those who culturally would be slaves as people that deserve honor and even special recognition. As we shine the same spotlight on our lives, and on the life of the church today. How do you think we're doing with that? Is church a place where cultural barriers are being removed? Where those of various socioeconomic backgrounds meet together as one? Does it matter one lick what your annual income is once you walk through this door? Does it matter? Now, on some sense, perhaps it does. I mean, those who have been given more and more is expected. So generosity looks different for all of us. For some of us, you know, to give $10 is an enormous act of sacrifice. For some, that's just chump change. Because the Lord looks at the heart, not the amount, in terms of generosity. But in terms of our relationship with each other, does it matter? No. So these social barriers are being torn down. We are one in Christ. When we walk through the... I'm going to just to push a few buttons. I want you to think about this. When you walk through the door of the church, does it matter whether or not somebody is in the country legally or not once they walk through the doors of the church? Now, the laws of the land still apply. But does it matter one lick? I mean, would you help your undocumented sister or brother simply because they are a follower of Christ? I would hope so. I would hope so. The barriers that separate people from each other have been removed because Jesus Christ removed them. So as we relate to one another, we relate to one another as equals. And it's just beautiful to see this being lived out. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those with a household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. So again, he's referring to people that culturally are slaves. Greet them, he says. Greet them. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persistus, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Again, have you had a woman like that in your life? Someone that invested in you that was like a mom? Sometimes God provides in ways that maybe our biological moms can't, whether because of they're separated from doing the things that they would hope to have done by death or addiction or other forms of dysfunction. Sometimes God provides those people who can step into the gap. Do you have somebody like that in your life that you are celebrating today? Greet Asyncritus, Philologon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermes, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philogus, Julia, Nerus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with him. Just pause there before we go to the next slide. So there's this huge list of people. You gotta thank them. Men, women, slaves, free, various socioeconomic backgrounds. Greet them. Honor them. And before we get to the next one, now some of you have your Bibles open because I'm going to have some fun with this next passage, just so you know. Who here believes that the Bible is the Word of God, the only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct? It teaches us how to live. God knows stuff that we don't know. So we want to live out the things that God tells us to do. Y'all with me? Wait, let's see some hands. Come on, y'all with me? That's great. This is the Bible. It's God's Word. It's fantastic. Okay, let's read the next verse. So greet one another with a holy kiss. Come on up, folks. Here we go. We'll start with you in the back. That's great. Now, right about now, you're some of your fundamentalism is starting to get shaken just a little bit. I'm not exactly sure where you're going with this, preacher. I'm a little bit nervous, but for all the fun we have with this, because let me just lay my cards on the table. I don't think this is necessarily a command that in every culture and at every time needs to be literally obeyed. You don't have to come to church, you know, and walk away with mono in order to be a good Christian. But here's the idea. And here's the piece all joking aside, I really think we need to wrestle with this. We really do need to wrestle with this. So Paul is talking to this incredibly diverse group of people. All these people you need to greet. All the ways that you know, the barriers between people have been broken down. And he says, greet one another affectionately. Let's just go, the Thompson translation says a holy handshake. Greet one another with a holy handshake. But look around, see, in Christ, we are family. In Christ, we are equal. In Christ, whether we know each other by our first name or not, whether we have spent a significant amount of time with one another or not, we are connected to one another. So what does it mean to actually greet one another affectionately and appropriately? I mean, we're not talking like creepy stuff, but to be just honestly affectionate. I asked you this question last week. I want us to wrestle with this a little bit more. Just look around the room a little bit. Part of me was tempted to just turn all the chairs so we're facing each other. Wouldn't that be fun sometime? But look around the room and just identify at least one person that you don't know them by first name yet. And we're not going to stare at them. That would be really creepy and make them feel real funny. But we're just going to look. And I want you to ask yourself the question, what might you do for that person? I mean, what are the limits for you? If you discovered they needed $5 to get home, their car was low on gas, or they need money for a bus fare, I mean, would you just pull out money right away and just hand it to them?
I hope so,
yeah. If you hear that they need some help with moving, would you give up an hour of your time? If you could, would you? I mean, what about $50? I'm not saying this because I'm trying to pressure anybody. I'm just saying I want us to think about this. Like, even in this one little verse that you think, oh, that's kind of weird, let's not do that. There is a principle in there, a powerful, powerful principle about what it means to be church, what it means to be the part of the body of Christ. And I hope we would wrestle today with what does it mean to really apply that? What are we called to do for one another? See, Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples in one of his famous kind of last speeches, he says, they'll know that you are my disciples by your, do you know what the word is?
Love
for one another. By your love for one another. You know what happens when you know people in the church are just at each other's throat, they're gossiping about each other, they're just trying to tear each other down. Do you know what the watching world says about faith? See, you already know. Because some of you have been there. They're like, that is so stupid. If I was looking for petty, angry people, I could just go to work. I could just go home. I was looking for a social environment to get frustrated and I could take up golf. You know? I don't need church to make me feel rotten about myself. One of the most compelling witnesses we have to the world around us is how we treat one another. And how we treat especially those that are from different economic brackets. How we treat people of other genders. So, ladies, tune out for just a second. Guys, let me see your eyes. Let me see your eyes. Let me see your eyes. I know some of you need to crane your necks to do that. Gentlemen, how we treat women is a significant part of your credibility and witness. Okay? So if you have inappropriate pictures on your phone, you need to take them off. There are posters that men of God should never have on their walls. How we treat our sisters in Christ matters. Ladies, similarly, you know, how you relate to the men in your life to really believe that they are equals with you, that we are called to serve Christ together, to honor one another, to respect one another. It's one of the most important, most impactful ways that we witness to the world around us how we treat each other and how we treat those in another social category or bracket. People who vote wrong. Whatever you believe voting right to be. People who don't make very much money or don't dress very nice or looking down on those who do make some money. If we really believe this Jesus stuff, the barriers between people are being erased. So greet one another, Paul says. Greet these people you've never met. Greet these slaves. Greet these women. Greet them affectionately. Try not to give them mono, says Andrew, not Paul. I don't know what Paul would say. Greet them appropriately. A socially appropriate way. But greet them affectionately. Because like it or not, they're family. Like it or not, they're family. If you are a follower of Jesus today, or you're thinking about being a follower of Jesus today, and you're asking Christ into your heart, we are kind of stuck with each other. We're kind of stuck with each other. And so how we treat one another matters greatly. And then sometimes, actually, the difficulties we have in relating to one another, we don't like to think about this, but it's actually sometimes that's the way that God is most calling you to grow, because it's not always easy to get along. You start relating to people who disagree with you theologically or politically, or they look at the world in a different way, and you're forced to go, ugh, is there anything I can learn from them? It's sometimes in the tension and in the rub that we grow the most. I hope we wouldn't cut ourselves off from some of the things that God is trying to do in what to us might just feel like an awkward or difficult situation. Don't run away from it. Ask God into it. Lean into it. God, help me to grow from this. Help me to do the right thing. Help me to not compromise my values and my beliefs. But God, help me to grow. Is there something I can learn from the situation that you've allowed me to be in today? So what I'm hoping we could do a little bit later in the service, we're gonna sing a song. Maybe Dan, would you just pop up and start getting ready so we can worship together? But we're gonna come around the table, and I wanted us to spend some extra time with something that is, we don't often do this, but maybe we should. Is that as one of the things that has historically been a part of communion is something called the passing of the peace. And it's a little bit more than just a greeting time. Though greeting times are cool. That's fine. It's a good thing to do that. But it's going around the room and greeting people, especially maybe somebody you don't know very well, and saying something maybe a little bit like, "The peace of the Lord be with you." Yeah. And to which the person might respond, "And also with you." You can make up your own way of saying it. But just some sort of this short little holy handshake to say, "I see you. You matter to me. And we're in this together." Yeah. Peace of the Lord be with you, Michael.
Yeah.
So I'm going to provide an opportunity to do that. And I would encourage you to do that. Is to stretch ourselves a little bit. We're in this together. Greet one another with a holy something. With a holy something. Because in Christ, we are one. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that by your grace, there are people that have invested in our lives that have helped us to see and experience your love. And thank you that because of that love, We're brought together as a family of faith. The barriers are being broken down between economic classes, between gender, between race. Lord, may that be true for this valley. God, we pray for greater degrees of racial diversity in our church, because we recognize that this valley is not one language, nor is it one color. Lord, help us increasingly to be reflective of the kingdom of God expressed here in the Wenatchee Valley. Because of your love, because of your work in us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.